Over the years, the North Coast vehicular ferries were overhauled at Riley's Dock on the Richmond River and the Ashby Dock on the Clarence River. Terry Doolan, bridge maintenance planner with the RTA Grafton office, relates some of the history of the Ashby Dry Dock.
The dock is on the mainland and it's called Ashby, the town's called Ashby there as well. Public Works would have been the people who built the dock in the first place. And this would have been in the probably 1880s. So they would have come to this river and seen a need to have a dry dock, and they would have bought land and blasted this massive sandstone dock. We took over the dry dock I think it was about 1975, and we have continued to maintain it. The things that have changed will have been that the gates have had better hydraulic motors fitted to them. They will have had better pumps fitted to the dock. There's an old crane that will have been built there in the 1920s. There's a funny old stiff-legged derrick crane, they call it, which we hardly use now because we just take a mobile crane in and use it. But, yeah, pretty well, fairly historic dock, actually. We're presently looking at studies to checking the whole area out for contamination. When you think that red lead and all sorts of horrible poisons were used for keeping barnacles from growing on ferries and preserving things, but in the process of cleaning the whole site up.
One person who still regularly uses the Ashby Dry Dock is Laurie Duff, a tugboat operator on the Clarence River.
Yeah, the problem they have there at the dry dock lately is that the silt building up in front of the gates, they can't open the gates. I've, the last couple of times, having to spend a day in there with a tug blowing the mud away from the gates. What you do is tie a rope to the shore and with a tug, and you tie it to the back of the tug, and you just try and drive away. All you're doing is a propeller is thrusting, because the propeller's fairly deep down in the water on the tug, and it blows all the mud away. Just like a big fan, just blows the mud away from the gates. But the last couple of times we've had to spend a day there to blow the silt away from the gates so they can open wide enough to get the car ferries in and out. And that's what stopped them. They won't let them dredge out the front of the gates.
The process of slipping or dry docking ferries is not always straightforward. Martin Halley describes the slipping of the Weimar ferry on the banks of the Murray.
Now, the interesting part of it was that in many locations, particularly on the Murray, there was no proper slipway. They had to do it on the bank of the river, and it was done by very old-fashioned methods, or strong-arm methods. And we used to take the little, only very small, there was one at Weimar, Speewa, the little wooden vessels, and we'd take them off the wires, tow them with a little outboard dinghy over to the slipway. Got trucks with winches, tow trucks with winches on the back. They'd actually lay temporary skids with rollers, and they'd drag the vessel up on these rollers and on the skids. But the banks of the Murray are very steep, and it's very difficult to work on a vessel when it's on a steep angle. So they ended up jacking the thing until it was nearly level, and it weighed 30, 40 tons. And then because they used to do these maintenance things in January down there, it was always extremely hot. And at Weimar, when the Hume dam was low, there was acres and acres of white sand, and it was as hot as hell. So they used to put these temporary shelters up, and a temporary roof and canvas and so on over the vessel to try and keep the poor bugs from dying of sunstroke. They used to stay in the local motel, which the only one close to the site was just a series of dog boxes, and some of them even un-air-conditioned. So they'd stay up till late at night with all the windows up and hoping that the temperature in the room would drop, and what the blokes do when they're out on their own and it's late at night, they drink. So they used to have a fine old time.
The Murray River ferries at Speewa near Swan Hill and Weimar near Albury have been operating since at least the turn of the century. They both serve small rural communities, providing convenient access to larger towns. For many years, the ferries at Speewa and Weimar were small wooden punts. While Speewa now has a larger welded steel hull ferry, Weimar is served by a two-car timber punt. This is one of the two remaining timber ferries in New South Wales. The other services the Portland Crossing on the Hawkesbury. Neville Field, Former leading hand bridge carpenter and Lalith Amawira, current ferry maintenance engineer with the RTA, describe one of the peculiarities of the Waima crossing.
The Victorian side was a bit shallow for the ferry to beach itself properly so you could drive vehicles on it. And we had what we call a ramp that was built to lift the traffic out further into the water so as the ferry could come up onto that jetty. And the vehicles used to drive up onto the jetty and then onto the ferry.
They used that with the tide level, they used that jetty to take the cars loaded. The one side is real steep on the bank, the other side not real steep. Then depends on the tide level, they use that jetty sometimes to get across to the ferry. It's got a six wheels on that jetty. It's like a flat foam with a little flap. Yeah. Then we want to replace that. This is fairly old and we want to design a new one. Then I'm just going to make out from steel this time.
Are you?
And put a timber deck on it. It's easy to make and maintenance. And
while most of the time the jetty is easily manoeuvred, Lorraine Waite, Waima ferry operator, recalls a couple of hiccups in the process.
And one day I thought it was the bosses coming from Goulburn or Yass because I heard they'd had a new green Falcon. And I hooked up and forgot to till I realised it wasn't him, and I just shut the gate and probably in relief and forgot to unhook it, I don't know. And I towed in about 200 feet, but it didn't sink properly, so I pushed it back and I set it back up on the rails with a neighbour across the river came down with his tractor and got it back. And then about 3 hours later, Peter Andrews did turn up and he never noticed that it was off the rails.
The RTA ferry teams are not only involved in maintenance and repair, but have also undertaken a number of ferry design and construction projects. Martin Haley recalls the design and construction of the new Spiwa ferry.
The ferry itself was too big and heavy, really, to carry by road, and that cost was quite large, and they were afraid that the weight was too much for some of the bridges along the road, so we had a design problem. So they thought, right, we'll make it out of pontoons, separate tanks which you clip together on site. Each tank can be carried by road, we'll take them there, clip it all together, all the accessories will come by truck, and the whole thing just be bolted together on site. Fantastic idea. But there's a few things I forgot. They built the ferry with slab ends, square ends. Now, the Murray is so shallow that you can actually ground that bottom corner of the slab end 20 yards from the shore. So they had to modify the approaches. But another thing they did was put swim ends on it. That is, they put tapered ends. They bolted extra pieces onto these pontoons, which had ramps on them. So that extended your reach.
Another big RTA project, remembered with particular pride by John Clifford, was the remodelling of a ferry from Wiseman's for the Bluff Point crossing on the Clarence River in the early 80s. The Wiseman's ferry was towed to Yamba for the rebuild.
They wanted a bigger crossing, a bigger capacity ferry at Bluff Point. So we towed it up there, set it up, cut it in half, and there's a local firm called Yamba Welding and Engineering. Constructed or fabricated a new section, 12 metres by the width, or 10 metres by whatever depth it was. And we just dropped it in two sections. We got it built in, like the 12 metre section was built in two sections, so we put two of them down together and welded them up. It was a hydrostatic drive at the time, so we converted it back to a mechanical drive. And we just made a bigger ferry. It was a very interesting job, actually. It brought back a bit of boat building that I hadn't done for a while.
As John mentioned, ferries are often towed at sea, and this is not always a straightforward process.
They usually strap up alongside, like tie up alongside the ferry, go out through the harbour or down the rivers. And once they say they come down the Hawkshire, they get out the pit water there, then they just have the rope on, and they just keep snigging around and let them drop back. And then when they get up the heads here, I just let it come up, they just let it go, and they come up alongside them and they push her in. They tow it, once they get out to sea, they tow it on 600 foot of rope. Couldn't be close, because if it went down, it'd just pull the tug down. See, 600 foot, it gives them enough time then to let everything go and just let it go. The small ones are like a cork, they go up and down with the waves, but the big one, like the big this size for the 15 cars and probably the big one, well, they go over one wave and then through the next. They go over, if the seas are big, and just plough straight through the next one and go over the next one.